Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Boissieu, Chief Executive Officer, and Jacques Pruneaud, Chief Finance Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcements and presentations are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I'd like to remind everyone that the safe harbour statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would like to hand the call over to Charles Boissieu. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you. Welcome and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for attending our full year 2016 results conference call. In fact, joining with me today, I'm very pleased that we have our Chief Finance Officer, Jacques Pruneaud. We have also our Chief Operating Officer, Thierry Navarre, our Investor Relations, Philippe Lublich. This morning, we published our 2016 results, and yesterday we announced completion of our deal with Hypermarkas for the acquisition of their personal hygiene business, which we will cover in this call. Following the closing, we will consolidate Hypermarkas Personal Hygiene as part of our Americas Retail division starting March 1st, at which point we will have more than 50% of our revenues from our Ontex brands and more than 50% of our revenues from outside Western Europe. Our transformation is ongoing, whereas our business model is unchanged. Now, if you flip to slide 5, let me start with some highlights of the year. We ended the year with a revenue just shy of the 2 billion milestone at 1.993 billion. On a pro forma basis, our businesses have delivered 1.7% growth at constant currency. Four out of our five divisions outperformed their markets, with strong growth in developing markets, helping to offset the difficult market conditions we are still seeing in Western Europe. We had significant Forex movements that made pricing more needed and more challenging, as there were lots of fluctuations, like, for example, the Russian ruble, which required from our teams to be very agile in their commercial activities. In the face of these strong Forex headwinds, we performed well to deliver modest EBITDA margin expansion of 10 basis points, mostly through our own efficiency programs and synergies, whereas we were planning, for those who were there a year ago, if you remember, to be flat. Also, I want to highlight that the board has proposed to pay a dividend of 55 cents per share. Of course, this is subject to shareholder approval at our general meeting end of May. We are continuing to transform Ontex into a leading international consumer goods company. And as I've always said, this transformation has two parts. On one side, organic growth, and on the other side, inorganic growth through M&A. Our organic performance has been held back in 2016, with our markets growing well below trend and our price discipline being a short-term headwind for one division. But I'm encouraged by signs of stabilization towards the end of the year, especially in this division. Meanwhile, our inorganic growth strategy continues to deliver value to shareholders. Mabe is ahead of our schedule, and at the end of the year and early this year, we added another crown jewel to our portfolios of countries and brands with Hypermarkas, personal care business. As I mentioned, we have acquired the personal hygiene business of Hypermarkas in Brazil, which we are quite excited about, providing us with market leadership in adult incontinence and a strong number three position in baby care in the fourth largest personal hygiene market in the world. The deal is expected to deliver double-digit EPS accretion to shareholders. For those who are following us since the IPO or even before, stepping back and looking at the transformation of Ontex since 2014, We have averaged 4% like-for-like growth, entered new markets, created opportunities for significant value creation through acquisition, diversified away from Western Europe, and expanded our brand portfolio. I'm pleased with the progress we made, and we are on track to deliver the vision we set out. We are a consolidator of the personal care markets, and we will continue to be. Now, if you flip to slide 6, I'd like just to start with a very brief update on Mabe integration. And I knew that last year there were questions about our ability to integrate fast and deliver results. Well, in all fairness, this has been a very strong and excellent first year, mainly driven by the people. It is, by the way, what attracted us to get Mabe joining our company in the first place. Because great brands are built by great teams with deep local market knowledge, strong fighting spirits, and entrepreneurial mindset. And there was a perfect cultural fit, as we stated, and we are pleased to see it is the case, between this company and Ontex. We experienced also a top-line momentum. 2016 was a very good year for our business in Mexico, and we are very pleased to see that the integration didn't impact this. We could have lots of companies where you get business derailing because of integration complexity. This is not the case for us. In terms of synergies, we delivered slightly ahead of our plan, and the team worked hard to deliver them, which helped us to catch up partially on the EBITDA margin of this division, as we stated a year ago. From supply chain and operation, this was also a race, and we successfully transferred some of the business that was in Europe from a supply chain perspective into the market, the mature market division in terms of manufacturing and supply. And finally, from a finance and IT systems, although of course it's not finished at all, we are getting our systems connected, working extremely well, moved to IFRS, accelerate the closing time of the business. Many achievements from the team on both sides of the ocean. Now if you flip to page 7, I'd like also to give you some highlights on our brands, which, by the way, now will become 50% of our revenue. Again, let's start with the acquisition of Grupo Mabe. We had recognized for some time that they have done an excellent job building brands to cover all segments of the baby diaper market in Mexico. No disruption from the acquisition and integration. And a very strong positive momentum from 2016 continued, with several relaunches, Bio Baby and Kitty brands. And for the first time ever, if you remember, in the middle of the year, we passed the 40% market share milestone in the retail channel. And we continue to see further opportunities with some withdrawal of some of our competitors on the marketplace. When we completed the deal, Grupo Mabe held the number 3 position in adult care. And during the year, the team made further progresses, led by our affective brands, allowing us to become the number 2 player by the end of the year. So we are really pleased that the strong brands we have added to our portfolio continue to outperform and gain market share, fueled by consumer insights and innovation. Turning to the our healthcare division, our product ID for men was recognized as product of the year in Belgium. This is an outstanding achievement. The label rewards consumer packaged goods that demonstrate innovations that we have launched within the previous year. This is just one example, of course, of our focus on offering innovative and smart solutions, responding to the needs of our consumers to improve their quality of life and give them back their confidence. This also reflects very importantly the fact that we continue and we work to place our consumer and customers at the center of the organization. Now, traveling again and getting into Turkey, We launched an innovative new Chanbebe baby diaper based on insight developed from extensive consumer research supporting our solid position in this key market, which helped us to manage a significant price increase while delivering market share and top-line growth. Now let's review the market environment and go to slide 8. Before we get to our performance, I'd like to provide you with some market context. Let's start with the developed markets. There were considerable political uncertainties, unforeseeable, should I say, ranging from the UK referendum results on EU membership to the US elections, on top of several challenges of European governments. As we shared with you during the year, there was a clear increased promotional intensity, especially focused on baby diaper, led by some international brands and some very specific markets. Pricing pressure also remains high in institutional channels as governments seek ways to reduce costs in their budgets. Will this change? Probably not. Why? Because it's the way we operate in consumer goods arena in Western Europe, but also in the rest of the world. And moving to developing markets, there was also more volatility in key markets like, for instance, Turkey, which of course impacts the business as well as consumer confidence. But our team is there. They worked hard to make sure we have the right products at the right price points in such an environment. And the consumers are deciding. And if the products deliver with the right price points, then it works. So altogether, in 2016, our Ontex markets grew at a rate well below the 3-4% medium-term trend that we were referring to at the time of the IPO. Well, unfortunately, on that one, it's very hard to influence those trends. We just have to live with them. Based on third-party forecasts and how we see trading so far this year, we believe that 17 will not be so different. So, of course, this is part of our plan and this is integrated in our plans now. So let me go now to a snapshot of our group revenue, and this is on slide 9. As I mentioned earlier, we recorded revenue of 1.99 billion in 2016, primarily due to the inclusion of Grupo Mabe for 10 months. Remember, we were referring during the year of a run rate of 2 billion, and 3/4 out of 4 were above this run rate. And that's the quarters where Grupo Mabe had a full impact on 3 months. On a pro forma basis, including Grupo Mabe for 15 and 16, make it full comparable, growth would have been 1.7% at constant currency. On a like-for-like basis, revenue was 0.2%, so basically flat against the prior year, and fairly consistent throughout the year. As you know, and we stated this several calls and in meetings, we were lapping contract losses from 15, but the majority of that should now be in the comps for the 17 year. So we hope to put that behind us, of course. As you can see from the bridge on the right, increases volumes were largely offset by lower pricing, and volatile Forex wiped out nearly 50 million of sales. In terms of the major drivers, we saw double-digit like-for-like growth in developing markets as a whole, with the bulk of it coming from higher volumes, which is great to see, and this is part of our model as those markets are our growth engines. On the pricing side, we can clearly see now that we have the market data for the full year, that high promotional activities lead to lower prices and decline of the markets in value. And then, as I mentioned, Forex was clearly a major headwind, close to 50 million. Well, now let me turn over the call to our Chief Operating Officer, Thierry Navarre, to provide you with more colors to our paintings.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everyone. Starting first on with the mature market retail divisions, still the biggest divisions of the group, while its weight is actually diminishing because of the increase on the other side of the business, on our broadening in geographies. This division's like-for-like revenue was down 5.8% for the full year. To put some perspective behind this 2016 trading performance, some of you surely remember that this division performed strongly in 2013 and 2014. And then in 2015, we faced a very strong price pressures, mainly in the UK and mainly in the baby care business, where we were holding, and by the way, we're still holding, a very strong leadership position in retailer brands. As you all know, and we repeated it several times, we are very focused on profitable growth, and we took a very tough decisions to stay very disciplined on our pricing, which in that period has led us to no longer supplying baby diapers to two of our customers, and this has impacted our revenue performance in the division from the second half of 15 until the end of 16. Whilst obviously this has been a painful for like-for-like growth in 16, this disciplined approach, which has always served us well in the past, fully supported our ability to deliver another year of group EBITDA margin expansions. Overall, the market conditions were tough in the divisions, as you've heard from us through the year, and also you've heard from different other consumer goods companies. In Western Europe, the market for categories slightly decreased. And together, obviously, with the contract losses that I just mentioned, this led to our revenue decline. On the other side, if you look at the positive side of it, we see that our like-for-like trends in the second half of the year was much better than in the first half, which gives us rather good confidence for the future going forwards on the trading of the divisions. Back on the market growth performance, the lower than expected growth performance was mainly due to a weaker pricing environment, with a lot of branded promotional activities in 16, and mainly in the category of baby care. But as you can see on the chart on the right of the slide, despite this, the retailer brands continue to have a very strong position in Western Europe. And we see that consumers are continuing to trust and purchase their chosen retailer brands. And this is very, very reassuring. So at the end, against this backdrop that we have seen, we have not stood still. And we have focused on growing the business with our existing customers, which has helped to offset the headwinds that I was just describing. And on top of that, we've made very good progress in gaining new businesses. And throughout all that period, we remain determined to be very disciplined in pricing. So we expect that those results, the result of those efforts, will become progressively more visible in the MMR top lines in the course of this year, 2017. Now, let's get to America divisions. I'm on slide 11. This is not the first year of your new created divisions. You remember we started to consolidate the Grupo Mabe as of March 1st. And we are actually, as Charles was mentioning, very pleased with our performance, with revenue growing by 8.8% on a pro forma basis at constant currency. If you look in details of this performance, it's largely led by the success of our business in Mexico, which has a very robust growth and gained market share in both baby care and Inco. And Charles mentions this, but I would like really to repeat because it has been a very important step forward, where we very successfully relaunched the Bio Baby and the Kiddies brands, our two main baby brands in the countries, with improved performance for both of them and better look and feel. And this paid off in market share gains during this year. And also on the Inco, we moved from the number three positions to the number one positions in the year, actually moving hopefully toward the number one position. And this has been achieved within a context of integration. So that's why we are very happy about that, because the business has not been derailed. At the contrary, it has continued to expand the momentum that was existing before the acquisition. It's fair to say, though, that on the other side, our revenue on the division was held back by a decline in sales in the U.S., where we were faced with a very high comparable in the second half of 2015. This was also, by the way, the case in Q1 16. So we'll have some tough quarter to comp. Sorry, we will have more quarter of tough comps to go. So as a conclusion for these divisions, like with Charles, I'm very happy to say that the integration has gone very well, and it gives us a very good confidence that we are in a good way and in a good setup to integrate very well the Hypermarket's personal hygiene business, which is now joining the group. And with these additions, we are leveraging the full American retail platform that we've put in place. Moving now to the third division's growth market on slide 12. There we have posted a strong like-for-like increase of 15.3% in the year. The market growth slowed down compared to 15, as Charles mentioned, in particular due to a much lower impact of pricing due to the currency appreciation of the rubles in Russia. I just would like you to keep in mind that our double-digit like-for-like performance is on top of almost a 50% growth that we recorded in 2015. So a very high comparable. Our team has worked very hard to outperform in this very fast-changing environment, and as you can see, it's paid off. This was primarily on the back of higher volumes in Russia, which is the biggest market of the divisions, and also behind the growth that we have in Central and Eastern Europe countries. In those areas, our strategy remains the same. We are very consistent over time. We continue to work very closely to our retailers to develop their brands and leveraging the huge experience that we have from mature markets to help the customers outperform their respective markets. As you can see on the chart in the right of the slide, retailer brands have gained market share in both Russia and Central and Eastern Europe. And given its lower starting position, Russia should offer a very good prospect for growth in the coming years. Now let's get to MENA on slide 13, which is our third growth engine. This division revenue was up almost 14% on a like-for-like basis. This is a great performance and an acceleration compared to last year. This growth was essentially volume-led, and it was across the board. It was not derived from any single countries or categories. Most of the market on the categories were above the prior year. This performance also should be seen into a context that Charles was alluding to, where the political and the macro environment is subject to a huge amount of uncertainty and political challenges, which obviously impact the overall business environment and also impact the consumer behaviors. But we are there continuing to roll out our strategy. We're continuing to invest in our leading brands, like the Jambébé that we relaunch, like our Jampet on incontinence, where we are the number one leading players there. We're bringing more innovations to our product, and we're increasing the attractiveness of our offer to the consumers. In Turkey, which is the key market of the divisions, we managed to slightly gain market share in the baby diapers, despite the strong, very strong price competition from international brands. And we also slightly growing and holding our leadership position on the incontinence category. Now, I'm going to the healthcare divisions, or fifth division, where the like-for-like revenue was up 1% for the full year, clearly ahead of a slightly declining market. There is a mix which is differentiated in terms of the growth on depending on countries. We see a good growth in countries like Spain and the UK, while the revenue was lower in France. And we are addressing that geography where we are restructuring our commercial organization over there to tackle the new challenges that are in front of us. If you look at the market evolutions and you look at the charts on the slide, the two largest channels of this market declined between 0.8 and 1.4%, which is the home deliveries and the hospitals and the nursing home. But this was partly offset by the growth through the distributors and the pharmacies. And obviously, we are playing with those mix in order to optimize our revenue growth. Innovation is also critical for the success in our healthcare divisions, like in other divisions as well. And we were very, very pleased and honored to learn only last month that the ED4Men product was selected as product of the year in Belgium, underlying the attractiveness and the strong brand recognitions that we have with consumers. And finally, in December, we officially inaugurated our new production site in Northern France, which are giving us a very good and excellent platform to support our customers in France, but also in the surrounding countries. Now, looking at the dimensions of the categories on slide 15, starting with the baby care, still the biggest category, there the revenue was down 1.3%, whereas looking at the trends of the last quarter, you see an improvement of 1.3% in Q4. In this category, there is a mix. We see first baby pumps, which were a broad spot and growing, while the open diapers recorded a lower revenue linked to the contract losses that we have mentioned, that we've experienced in the mature market retail divisions. In developing countries, on the other hand, we saw strong growth in both the baby pants and the open diapers. For adult inco category, the revenue was up 3.4% on a like-for-like basis. And similar to the baby care, we had higher growth in Q4, which gave us a very positive trend. The category revenue was up due to an 11% increase in retail channel and slightly higher revenue through our institutional channels. And obviously, now with Brazil, where we are holding a leadership position on incontinence, we are looking forward to strengthen this category going forward. And in fem care at last, the category revenue was down 3.1% in the year, which essentially reflects a limited underperformance in a lower Western Europe market. So that's it for the review of the different divisions, and I will now hand over to Jacques for the financial review. Thank you.
Thank you, Thierry. Good morning, everybody. Moving on slide 17 on the full year 2016 highlights. I will not go through everything. I will just briefly go over key financial highlights which were not yet covered. We reported another year of EBITDA margin expansion in 16, up 10 basis points compared to prior year, which demonstrate profitable growth once more. From a balance sheet perspective, we ended the year with a net debt of 664 million, including almost 76 million of acquisition-related earnouts. As you know, these earnouts are conditional and hence only paid if certain milestones are hit. Based on full-year adjusted EBITDA, including only 10 months of Mabe contribution, we ended the year with a net leverage of 2.67. Additionally, working capital and capital expenditures were within our expectation for 2016. So we could say everything under control. Moving now on the slide 18, EBITDA margin. We had a solid growth in gross margin with an expansion of 123 basis points to 29.4%. There were several factors that contributed to this. First, significant savings from our efficiency and savings programs, which, as you know, are part of the DNA of Ontex and which has underpinned margin improvements over several years. Second, synergies we captured as a result of the Grupo Mabe acquisition. Then obviously, raw materials indices were down, but this was more than offset by FX headwinds. Going into 2017, so far, some of the main raw material indices are up, and we anticipate that oil-based raw materials will be more expensive this year compared to 2016. At the EBITDA level, in 2016, our margin was up 10 basis points to 12.5%, in line with expectation that we upgraded at our half-year results in July. This includes, obviously, continued investment over the past year to strengthen our sales and marketing teams. And this goes hand in hand with our ambition to enhance our brand portfolio and sales execution. And Thierry already gave you the example of which the relaunch of Chen Bebe is very well proving the point. On top of this, adding Grupo Mabe, which is selling mainly branded products, also brought additional commercial costs. The substantial FX headwinds we had last year were mainly due to US dollar, British pound, Turkish lira, Russian ruble, and Polish zloty. Now moving on to the non-recurring cost. I know it's always a subject of interest, so I wanted to give you a bit more detail on this non-recurring. Main items were: first, a provision we have taken in relation to the fine imposed by the Spanish Competition Authority on Ontex and several other manufacturers back in May 2016, and this was disclosed at our half-year results. We have appealed, and this appeal is pending. On this non-recurring, we also recorded 4.3 million in acquisition-related expenses. They are both linked to Mabe and Hypermarkets transaction. I like to mention that this level of non-recurring cost has been in 16 slightly higher than the classic level we have had, and we anticipate around 8 to 10 million. Now moving on to the free cash flow, slide 20. On free cash flow, we generated 131 million post-tax in 16. We benefited from higher adjusted EBITDA, which was up almost 19%. Our working capital requirements stayed within our guidance of 12% of revenue. And if you compare with last year, you can see that the higher percentage we have now in 16 versus 15, we have 11.6 versus 10.5 last year, is in fact coming from the last year one-off Italian VAT recovery we benefited from. On CapEx, we continue to invest in our business and others to support innovation, expand capacity, and efficiency program. CapEx came in at 3.9% of sales, within the range 3.5 to 4% we disclose at half-year results. This amount included ongoing upgrading of our IT investments and also investment in Mexico following the acquisition. As we expand our business, including acquisitions, we will need to invest to ensure we have sufficient capacity, which is flexible and efficient. We estimate that our capital expenditure for 2017 will be above 4% of sales. This is due, among others, to investments that we have planned for Brazil this year, as I highlighted in our conference call last December about Hypermarkets acquisition. Moving now on to net debt and leverage. Net debt at the end of December was 665 million, essentially in line with the position at end of June, and giving a net leverage of 2.67. Remember, as I already said, this includes earnouts, which are subject to achievement of specific targets. Also, the earnouts are impacting by FX changes, as we have to mark to market, and it's related to Mexican peso, in which these earnouts are mostly denominated. I can reiterate our comment on leverage when we announced the Hypermarkets personal hygiene deal. We estimate that leverage will be between 3.2 and 3.4 at the time of closing, which is within our range following a strategic acquisition. And as you know, this closing happened on Monday and was announced yesterday. This leverage will then reduce gradually to around 3 times by year end. As we say that the announcement of the agreement with Hypermarkets, we will obviously continue to actively manage the balance sheet to maintain an efficient, flexible, and resilient capital structure. We continue to have strong available liquidity of 313 million, with 213 million in cash and cash equivalent and 100 million from our RCF. This closes the financial part, and I would now like to hand it back to Charles for the outlook. Charles, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jacques. Well, if you go now to slide 23, turning to our outlook. We anticipate growing ahead of our markets in 2017. and I would like to take each of the component parts in turn. First, what growth we expect from our markets, and then how we expect to perform, or should I say outperform, in them. Starting with our markets, where growth slowed in 2016. At around 1 to 2% growth on average, of course it was well down on our long-run model assumptions, and as I said, unfortunately, we were not able to manage this growth rate at the market level. We are not planning for a change in promotional intensity in Europe, and so we don't expect a significant change in our market conditions in 2017, which means that our best estimate currently is for the market growth towards the top of the 2016 range. And the 2016 range was 1 to 2%, so you can figure out what is the top of the range for the market growth. Now, while this sets a lower base for growth on our medium-term, long-term, in terms of Ontex outperformance, we will be helped by the fact that in 2015, some contract losses are now behind us, and so we are targeting a more stable performance from our mature retail market business this year. So together, with continued confidence in the momentum in our developing markets business, we expect to see a return to more normal levels of Ontex market outperformance in 2017, which means that in total, we expect an outperformance that is in line with what we stated at the IPO, between 100 and 200 basis points of outperformance for the total group. And of course, with the addition of Hypermarkets, and we just closed the deal 2 days ago, so forgive me if we are not totally able to give you purely accurate data, but with the addition of the business, our expected revenue yearly run rate should be around the 2.4 billion euro milestone, which in other terms says that we should foresee or plan for quarters around 600 million euro per quarter, on quarters where we'll get the full benefits of this business, which is as of Q2. In terms of profitability, we anticipate that the Forex volatility will continue, and we experience it every week, and be a headwind for us this year, while raw materials indices have already moved up somewhat higher and are expected to be above last year. And this was already a plan, and it's not the new news. But of course, we will rely on our ability to extract the synergies from acquisition, to drive profitability from our efficiency programs that are part of Ontex DNA. And then consequently, we remain focused on generating modest margin expansion over the medium term. And as you have seen over the past years, we have managed to increase our adjusted EBITDA margins by 30 basis points annually on average, while, and that's very important, investing in people and capabilities to prepare our company for future growth. So, of course, we will focus on the levers we can control to ensure we continue our journey of becoming an international consumer goods company with a track record of sustainable, profitable growth. Just as a reminder, at the IPO, we were at 11.6% EBITDA margin in 2013, and in 2016, we are at 12.5%, so perfectly in line with our 30 basis points on average per year. So we believe we are on track to deliver our 300 basis points expansion over 10 years. But as we said, and as I said, it will not be and it cannot be a perfect straight line. This has been done, as stated since the IPO, via organic and inorganic growth, while transforming the company significantly, bringing a lot of capability, increasing and upgrading our investment level in our CapEx level and truly moving from what it used to be a manufacturing powerhouse into a full consumer goods company. With that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator and take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a signal for questions. We'll now take our first question from Alan Vandenberg from KBC Securities.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my my questions. My first question is around your foreign exchange exposure. Obviously, your internationalization has led to more fixed exposure, and the recent evolutions of the Mexican peso, the GBP, or the Turkish lira will probably affect your performance in 15, as you just hinted. Do you expect to change something to your hedging strategy? And maybe can you quantify or at least provide some more color on the estimated impact of FX in 2017? And next to that, are you, on top of hedging, undertaking any other actions to mitigate the potential foreign exchange impact? My second question is regarding the environment in Europe. You seem to indicate that the situation is stabilizing in Europe, but maybe taking one step back, can you remind us what has been driving this competition? Is it just, in fact, promo pricing, or do you see also innovation playing a role in that as well? And then maybe a last question on your strategy. So through the recent acquisitions that you've been doing, you clearly reinforced the branded business of your portfolio. How do you expect the balance of the branded business to evolve going forward? And then maybe it's a naive question, but do you think that Ontex might at some point in time be a fully branded company? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So for those three questions, we'll start to explain the answer. So I will let Jacques start with the first one on the Forex, the hedging, and the mitigating elements.
Yeah. So you're right that we're getting exposed to more and more of Forex, and obviously the acquisition of Hipermarcas is adding to it. We have a very disciplined approach of hedging, as you know, completely managed also via our board and our hedging committee. And this policy we've applied, again, is aimed at having at softening the impact of the FX. It has been quite successful in 2016, we must say, especially in the last quarter, on US dollar, for example. And we do not intend to change our policy. Today, already part of our Mexican pesos exposure is hedged. Regarding the Brazilian real, that's something we are looking at, and we have not yet fully taken our decision. Because we have to balance cost with, let's say, efficiency of the hedging. Also, as you remember, what we say is in countries like, for example, Brazil, where we have strong brands, we first try to use the pricing, our pricing power, to balance the FX impact. Across the board, obviously, we have also actions more on the procurement side in order to control and to try to also offset the FX impact more on raw materials. So I hope this answers your question.
So the second question was on the environment in Europe, and he wanted some reminders of what drove the competition, and I will let Thierry take that question.
Yeah, indeed, all through the year we've constantly mentioned that the environment in Western Europe are really, really getting tougher and tougher with price competitions heightening. And as you know, it's not only on our type of product, but also through the consumer good environment. And looking at the intensity that we've seen on promotional activities, it's right that it has been very intense and more intense than the previous year. We've seen a clear hike led by the international brands. And we've seen also this intensity mainly focused on a category, which is the baby care category, which is a traffic driver, and that's focused a lot of attention. And if you look also geographically, and I mentioned it also when I presented the result, is also concentrated in the UK and then flowing slightly on the continent, first on France and then on Spain. That's a little bit how all things have been spreading out. And in this environment, for us, we remain consistent and kept very disciplined. We focused on providing the customers with the best offer that the consumer are asking for. So we are coming with consumer insight and shopper insight in order to position our product the best way. So it's not a question of only pricing. It's also a question of what you offer to your customers and consumer. And that's paid off. As we mentioned, we've been gaining business in that environment, and we're also growing the existing business. So the part that we have not lost, and we've lost only a small part in 15, all the other parts are growing. We're growing in the different categories in Inco and in fem care. And we're also growing in baby care in the other customers. So it's paying off. On the innovation side, yes, innovation is important, especially in an environment where it's very, very tight. And we are on that one investing quite a lot, like our competitors. I'm sure you've heard about P&G launching the magical pot, and this is something that we know very well and that we are facing with the proper solutions that we're offering to our customers. So on that front, same positioning as before, we present a product which is at least at par performance than the competition, if not better on some occurrences.
So the last question, if I remind correctly, was about the recent acquisitions and it's a very good question, whether we reinforce the branded business at Ontex. So the business model has not changed, as I said, is in Western Europe, we are the partner of the retailers and we provide 100% of retail brands. And outside of Western Europe, we are really on the branded side of the business. And if you remember our acquisition criteria, we said outside of Western Europe, Inco and branded. And by the way, we stick to this discipline. And if you look at America's retail, it's exactly what we've done. Of course, baby care is always big because it's a very large category, but we stick to this. As I said, is as a consequence, if you look and project down further in the future, if you want to become international, there's a lot of countries in the world where there's no retail organized trade. So by definition, the power of the brand is bigger, and the size of the branded market is much larger in the world than the size of retail brand. Does it mean that we will drop the retail brand? Of course not. It's the DNA of the company. So the model is unchanged. We want to still keep our number one position as retail brand partner in Western Europe. We want to expand, and mechanically the share of our branded will become bigger because outside of Western Europe it's mainly a branded play. There's also potentialities to enter into markets where you have retail brands, but we have to do it very carefully and to be ready to do it. And of course I'm referring to some countries like North America and others. But the model has not changed. And there's, by the way, one division that is focusing on the channel, which is healthcare. And, of course, it's a different business model, and we are still living with our division like they are. So no, nothing should change. You should not be surprised, and it should continue. And I think, as to come back on one point on the Forex exposure, of course, the benefit of getting branded business in countries where you can have volatility on or inflation, by the way, it's not only we talk about Forex, but it's also sometimes countries with inflation. The benefit of getting branded with strong position is, as Jacques highlighted, we play more and more on the pricing power with the limit, as I always said, that the consumer need to accept it and we need to play within a competitive landscape. But that's the best mitigating element for the volatility. And on the hedging, when it makes sense and when it's cost optimal, then we continue to do it. We have our hedging charter, we have our hedging committee, and we are not changing. I hope we answer your three questions.
Yes, thank you. Very clear.
We'll now take our next question from Richard Withagen from Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, good morning. Three questions, please. First of all, with the closing of the hypermarkets acquisition now behind us, can you share your thoughts on the synergies you expect to realize? And also, can you say what EBITDA margin the hypermarkets business realized in 2016? The second question is, can you comment on your strategy with regards to the UK market? The existing contract terms must have become less favorable quickly in the course of 16. So what initiatives do you take to improve the earnings contribution from the UK? And then finally, a working capital question. Perhaps you can just highlight what happened with working capital in 16. There seems to be a 30 million euro swing in the second half of the year.
Okay, so I'll take the first one. I will let Thierry answer the second, and Jacques will take the third one, if you allow me. So, yes, we've closed Hypermarkets, as I said, 2 days ago. We have a plan. We have 100-day plans. Lots of our team members are already in the country discussing with the team. I would say, first of all, for me, the recipe of success starts with the people, as I said on Groupama Bay. And here I can tell you that we are extremely pleased, like we were with Groupama Bay, to welcome the Hypermarkets members to the Ontex family. And we feel the same entrepreneurial mindset, the same fighting spirit, and we feel that they are very pleased to join us. So that's very important because that's a constituent of the success of the integration and the speed of the integration. Now, what do we plan to do is really the same approach and the same logic as we applied to Groupama Bay or Serenity, by the way, because it's the third acquisition since 2013. And when we look at it, we have, first of all, what we call what I would say bankable synergies is probably not the right word, but it's the synergies where we have control that are talking about cost. And you have two components of the cost. One is on the procurement side and one is on the manufacturing side, is your cost of goods ex plants. And then you have also the supply chain implications. So the team is working on this, and of course we'll do exactly what we did with Groupama Bay, focusing on extracting cost saving from the model, leveraging the scale of the company, and making sure that we leverage our expertise on Ontex engineering, on the machinery, on the efficiency on the lines, reducing the scrapping level, and the output of the machines. So nothing revolutionary in all fairness. It's our day-to-day operation. But as we have great teams there and we have great teams here that will join the forces, we are confident, of course, to deliver those kinds of synergies. In terms of EBITDA margin expansion, we don't disclose the figures, as you know, because Hypermarkets, so our Brazil operation, now is part of the Americas retail division, where you have a combination of, let's say, four business units. You have Brazil, you have Mexico, you have North America, and you have the exports market, which is mainly Central America and the rest. What we said is the starting point is better in terms of EBITDA margin than it used to be on Groupama Bay. And if you remember, for Groupama Bay, we stated that the synergies will help us to get back close to the average profitability of the group. In that case, the gap is much smaller, so our expectations are stronger. That's mainly without disclosing any figures, but mainly where we are. The second element is, of course, continue to fight on the marketplace in terms of growing the share. They have done an outstanding job in creating value in the business by adjusting their pricing according to the categories, to the brands. There's a portfolio of brands, so they play very well on the brand mix. They are very disciplined, so we are also confident that they will help us to navigate through the forex sensitivity or the pricing inflation in the country. Now, to get back to the second question, which was the strategy in the UK and the initiatives, I let Thierry answer that one.
Okay, so for us, the UK strategy has not changed, and it's the same as the rest of Europe, Western Europe, where we are the prime partners of the retailers to build their brands. It's clear that UK, we used to have a very strong leading position at the IPO, even with the two contract or part of contract losses that we have incurred, we still having a strong leadership positions. And for us, what the only thing that we say not has changed but has been reinforced is to leverage all the capabilities that we have developed into the business in the last couple of years in terms of consumer insights, marketing expertise, shopper insights. Also, the innovation pipeline that has been accelerated is actually rolled out in the discussions with our customers in order to not only having a price discussions, but having also an in-depth product discussion, an in-depth positioning of product, marketing behind, promotional activities, playing with the mixed, as I was mentioning just before, and really accelerating the efficiency in execution through those added insight that we have. And the objective at the end is that we're growing values, and what we want to do is growing value as well for Ontex as for the customers, because this is the only sustainable way forward. So basically, not a drastic strand of strategy, just rolling out the added capabilities that we have today in the organization.
So I think your last question was regarding the working capital in 2016 and the 30 million swing, and then I will leave the floor to Jacques.
So in fact, if you see the difference between the first half and second half, there are obviously some movements of inventories which have increased towards the end of the year. We have some their seasonality effect and preparation of some inventories. But the main aspect has been the factoring, which has changed between the first half and the second half. And, you know, this is a rather flexible way we use to finance ourselves at rather low cost. And so this is nothing special, just a classic movement. The accounts payable, we have had some phasings of payments. It depends also when the date of closing happens, because you could end up having the payment run being delayed or being some days after the closing or some days before. So absolutely nothing special, let's say, which would indicate any trends in the business.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for those answers. If I could press you a bit more on hypermarkets or on America's retail in general, I would say, I mean, you're acquiring Mabe for about, you know, with revenues of about 400 million. Hypermarkets is slightly smaller, but not much. Those are two sizable acquisitions for Ontex. Why are you reluctant to share your thoughts or quantify synergies for those deals?
Well, as a principle, first of all, we don't share data by country, so we are not specific. It's not because of you, it's because of the competitive landscape. To be clear, we don't want to share information that goes directly in people either listening to the call or reading what we say and using the information potentially against us. So that's a very disciplined approach, and we don't plan to change it. Now, in terms of synergies, as we said when we did Grupo Mabe, we say we don't quantify them because when we discuss with our partners, our suppliers, if we state the synergies up front, they know what are our goals and expectations. And in fact, versus our plan, we over-delivered, and we were very pleased by that. And by definition, if we tell you what we would expect, everybody will try to understand, and we'll get our supplier that tell us, okay, we know where they are, and they'll try to negotiate. So I think it's more a discipline of on two sides. One is not giving indication to the suppliers and to the competitors also as well. And the second is not getting too many granularity by country. But we said, yes, there are synergies. As I told you, it's mainly on operations and on procurement. And it's the same as we did with Grupo Mabe.
All right, thank you.
And at the end, again, we talk about a total run rate of revenue for the company, so that gives you an indication of where we should land, where we should be as a company as a whole for the full year. And then, I'm not an expert in mathematics, but if you look at EBITDA margin and you make your calculation, that should bring you where we think we will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer, Degroof Petercam. A couple of questions on my side. Firstly, on Mexico, you had a slowdown of on the Americas, a slowdown in the fourth quarter, partly due to the decline in the U.S. You also said that the first half is going to be tough. So if we take these comments and your comments earlier, what kind of growth rate do you expect for Mexico or the Americas, excluding hypermarkets as a total? Could it return to the 8%, or is that too ambitious for 2017? The second thing is, could you also elaborate a little bit on the pricing environment in Mexico? Normally, if the currency drops as much as the peso this year, last year, then also prices are taken up by the market leader. What do you see there, and how do you, yeah, what do you expect? And the same actually applies for Brazil. We have seen 2 years ago a strong drop in the currency. Last year, a partially recovery. In this drop, prices went up. But what could you expect now for the pricing environment in Brazil, let's say for 2017?
So there's three questions. Huh? The first one is the Mexico slowdown in Q4 and decline in the U.S. And Q1 comps that make it tough. And so the consequence is, what are your growth rate expectations for the full year for Grupo Mabe? Thierry, you want to give some colors to the competitive landscape and the comps we have? That's the first one.
Well, it's clear that the only driver of this low last of the year or the low of the last quarter is the comp of the previous quarter. It's as simple as that, and it's the comp in the U.S. There has been an increase beginning of end of 15, beginning of 16, which has been, let's say, in the high 20s compared to the previous years, and we are surfing that comp, which was just before, I would say, we closed the deal. So we will have to live with it, but what we are pretty confident on is that going forward, we should, for the American divisions, continue to perform at the growth rates, which are, let's say, in the range of what we have been delivering so far. If you remember, and we said it, that before Mexico or Grupo Mabe was delivering around a 10% run rate of growth, we did about 8% last year. I guess, you know, we in the high single digits is something that seems reasonable to me going forward when we look at what is existing now.
The second question, if I remember, was on the pricing environment in Mexico. And I'm not sure that I got all of it. You were mentioning about the price increase or what the market leader or how it works, but I think what we can say is on the pricing environment by definition, first of all, we cannot comment, and we don't know what we just watch what the leader or the market leader is doing. We have our own strategy. We play on, we have two ways of playing. On one side, we are supplying also retail brand in Mexico, and we play on the branded part. We have relaunched the bronze, several bronze last year. We have also plans to relaunch the bronze this year. And of course, as you know, in consumer goods industry, when you bring innovation, that's the perfect timing to leverage your innovation into pricing. So I would say when we have something new to say to the consumer and that has value to the consumer, you take a price increase and everybody is happy. If you just need to do a price increase to be defensive and to protect you, it's more challenging. I would say looking forward, we are still planning to bring more innovation on the marketplace. And, okay, I cannot tell you how much it is driven by or it will impact the pricing, but that's totally disconnected from the competitive landscape. On the other side, we are the second player, so we have a price differential to the market leader. So the good news is we need to, it's the same in the beverage industry. When you're the challenger, you cannot be higher in absolute price points. But if you have a price difference, you can close part of your gap. So you get some headrooms on top of that. So I would say for us, it's something that is manageable. The guy who runs the total Americas retail division has an extremely strong background of consumer goods company, knows well these type of questions. And we are very comfortable in his ability to, with the team, of course, to manage this. Your third question was on Brazil. And you were referring on the drop in prices and I 2 years ago and last year recovery. I assume this is a general comment. This was not something referring to the Hipermarcas personal care business. It's mainly prices in Brazil, I assume. No?
Yes. Yeah.
So the reality, if you look at, and again, I think in consumer goods, you have the overall environment. And you have some categories and you have your own strategy. Yeah? So at least on the overall environment, I would say when we look at Brazil, we believe that Brazil came 10 years ago was a star country, went down after crisis and lots of, as you see, political issues with the impeachment and lots of things. We believe that they were more or less at the bottom, and they are rebuilding the country, and we are very positive on the mid-term and long-term prospects, by definition. And as a reminder, Brazil is the fourth largest country in our categories. So arriving and being number three and number one in two of the three personal care categories, in our view, is a strong foundation for the future. But that's a very general comment, and I'm not addressing your question in the short term. If I look at the bronze we have in Brazil, as I was telling you, the team has done an outstanding job in raising price and driving profitability in the last 18 to 24 months. So, and again, this is also driven by the competitive landscape and the pricing positioning versus the competition. And again, Brazil is a very regional market, so you can have a very strong position in some areas and very weak in others. So in the very strong areas, you have more pricing power than the very weak. And we have several brands. So by definition, those brands cover different geographies. So I would say in terms of pricing environment, we have the ability to control and manage this our pricing at least. And there's no worry about that. I think the volatility on the currency you refer to Mexico or somebody on the call refer to Mexico. The peso is appreciating right now, so it's a bag of currency, and we are managing this, of course, specifically country by country, and the teams are managing this very carefully. Their objective is to deliver their plans, and of course, we understand sometimes the volatility, but they are really focusing on delivering the plans when we translate in euro.
Okay, thank you. I had one question on France. Thierry mentioned in his part of the presentation that there were some issues in France which they were which you are addressing. Could you remind me of those issues?
Well, you know, issues as such. First of all, it's a healthcare in France. Where in healthcare in France, we actually had to review our commercial organizations to refocus the team. But, you know, basically, we didn't have the proper focus and capabilities versus our expectations, and we have taken the necessary action. So it's as simple as that. So it's in part of our business, it's in our healthcare, and now everything has been fully reset. The new team is in place for no more than 6 months, and I expect the effect on that going forwards.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
We'll now take the next question from John Ennis from Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. I've got a couple from my side. The first is on growth in the mature markets. How much of the negative 5.8% like-for-like is down to contract losses, and how much is down to promotional intensity in that market, if you could just divide that percentage-wise? And then on margins, just to confirm the guidance, it sounds to me that you're saying 30 basis points per annum is the medium-term target, which you're roughly on track for, but for 2017, less than 30 bips is probably the right sort of number to be thinking about. And then still on margins, in 2016, the gap between gross margin expansion and adjusted EBITDA expansion is 110 bips. What proportion of that difference is down to marketing increase? And then just finally, is there any change to the tax guidance for the group post the inclusion of Hypermarcus? Thanks.
Okay, so I think I will let Thierry answer the first one, and I'll take discuss, and Jacques and I will take the two other ones.
Okay, so on your questions on the mature retails, the decrease of 5.8% is actually mainly led by the contract losses. Actually, if you do a totally theoretical exercise where you exclude the contract losses and you also factor the market trends, actually it's a growth for the underlying business. We've got a slight growth of the underlying business above market rate once you exclude that. So to give you a little bit of perspective of what this, let's say, two part of contract has, how it has impacted our business.
On the on the second element, which is the margin expansion. So I will let Jacques answer on it, but just to clarify the point I made when I said since the IPO 3 years, yes, we expanded our EBITDA margin by 90 basis points on 3 years. So when I divided, I say it's 30 basis points per year. We gave a guidance at the IPO of 30 basis points per year. We said it would never be a straight line. I think it's exactly what happened in the last 3 years. That's the first element. On 2017, we said we are continuing our modest EBITDA margin expansion. Your reading is it will be less. I would say it's a range, so by definition, I think the range is still there. We'll try to give you and provide you every quarter with a better, focus or funnel on the range, because the jury is out, but by definition, it's a continuous ongoing exercise, but we keep maintaining our range, and this is nothing different from the past, I would say. Now on the 2016 gap, I will first give the operational part, and I will let Jacques give the financial one. But what is clear is we could have obviously tried to give even more EBITDA margin expansion by changing the middle of our P&L. And that would probably have pleased some of the people. In the short term, it's clear that that's exactly what you can do when you want to please short-term investors. In our view, we are, as I said, we are building a company for the long term. We are adding capability. We are strengthening function and strengthening geography. And our priority is to consolidate and strengthen the foundation of the house and continue our journey of moving from the manufacturing powerhouse into the consumer goods arena. And this is exactly what we did. And it's a blend of different elements to answer specifically your question. Of course, by definition, we are investing more on the branded part of our business because the share of our brand are bigger. So there should be an evolution of the structure of the P&L. We should continue to get a higher gross margin, but we should also reinvest below the line on the different elements, like FMCGs. That's one element. And the second one on the structure and on our cost structure. Yes, we are building a strong team in America's retail that is the second largest division. So we have a management team for that division. We have people that are sitting there. We want to make sure that we deliver very safe and strong results. So we are, in terms of compliance, in terms of all the elements, we want to strengthen the organization. And that was part of this reinvestment, as well as on the CapEx. As Jacques said before, we are in the 3.54%. Why? Because we strengthen our model, and we want to make sure that we are ramping up capacity, delivering in terms of innovation through the different lines, and this is part of our model. Now, I will let Jacques tell you the financial view of it, as well as the tax guidance, if I recall your third question on 2017.
Okay, thank you, Charles. In fact, Charles has already given most of the input. What I want to add is, if you look at 16, we have delivered very high quality results. And I think that's maybe a message I like to pass. Because if you look at the evolution between first half and second half, you can see that we have invested, and it was really on purpose, more in second half than in first half. These investments, obviously, Charles said, it's marketing, sales, but what we have also done is we're investing rather heavily in our information systems in order to put in place the better decision support tools, but also because we are preparing ourselves to integrate all the acquisitions which are coming, those we have done and those we plan to do. So this is one thing. Second thing, we also invest in an important way in the structure is in research, development, and quality. And this is because we consider that innovation and sustainable top quality are critical for us. So that's for a little bit for 16. So for me, I would say a very healthy margin in 16 with a lot of investments decided. On 17, obviously, this is a volatile, and you know the world is volatile, FX is volatile, political situation are a little bit unstable, but something which clearly comes into play for 17 is the fact that we expect strong synergies and continued synergies from Mabe, but new synergies coming from Hypermarcas. And as we said when we had the Hypermarcas call in December, the situation with Hypermarcas is different from Mabe, because Mabe was dilutive in terms of margin, which is not the case of Hypermarcas. So I would say these are things which to be kept in mind. On the other side, you were asking about effective tax rate. We are obviously analyzing the situation. The tax rate we are experimenting now, which is 27.2, is aligned where we wanted it to and where we expected it to land. So that's we're happy with it. You know that we have an appeal ongoing with the against the ruling which was removed by the European authorities, and this obviously going to take time. The Brazilian adjunction is a rather complex setup, which we think should impact positively in the midterm our effective tax rate. So all in all, I think it's more positive than anything else. I hope it helps.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Just one follow-up on the mature markets commentary. What exactly was the market growth in 2016 for that division?
Market growth was zero to slightly negative depending on the country. So it was slightly positive on the baby care and negative on the fan care. So, okay. But like right, right. 0 point something. Huh? We're not talking about even
it's flat.
Even 1 point or whatever.
And
so
okay.
We've been hit by essentially the contract losses. But you know, as I was mentioning also, what we see is sequential increase into the performance of the mature retail. So whilst we are cycling these losses, on top with the impact of the gains that we have logged, we are getting back into the positive trend toward the positive like-for-like growth. And you see that in the last 2 quarters, actually.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll now take the next question from Ian Simpson from Societe Generale.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions from me, please. Firstly, can we just talk about the phasing of top-line growth in 2017? I mean, you know, your comments around market growth of, you know, top end of 1 to 2%, so 2, and you outperforming by 1 to 2 means that I guess we're looking at 3 to 4 for 2017. But I wondered if you could comment on the phasing of that and specifically what it might look like in the first half. Because I think in 2016 that the phasing took some of us by surprise and it would just be useful to get a sense of that. Secondly, you know, Hypermarket has closed now, your financing is all in place. Are you able to give us an indication as to what we should expect for 2017 net finance costs? And then lastly, sorry to come back to the margin again, although you know you've said quite a lot on it, but do you feel you've done the step up in investment that's required now, as in, you know, it doesn't sound like it's going to quite be 30 bips of EBITDA margin expansion this year, but you know, can you give any indication as to how gross margin might move within that? Thank you very much.
Okay, so on the phasing, three questions. The first one, phasing of top line growth. As you rightly quoted, this was a full year growth outlook, and I think you, at least the message was well understood. It's really the 1 to 2 and the 1 to 2 times two. That's the 3 to 4, and this is what you said. So then, division specific. As we said, is we don't get into the detail of it because that's not the policy and this is not what we do. But what is clear is we try to help, and already Thierry helped you by explaining to the previous question about mature retail market that is 40% of the business now. It's below 50%, just to clarify. By definition, we can focus on it, but it's 40% of our business. The comp should be slightly easier, of course, on the first half because we don't have the lapping of the contract loss. That was the main explanation of the performance of 16, as Thierry said. On the other side, if you look at America's division, we also try to make it clear that after the period pre-selling, which were the last 3 months of 15 and the first months of 16, the comps are very unfavorable because they were heavy sales, even though, as Thierry rightly highlighted again, the run rate and everything is not an issue at all. It's more in the phasing that you have these ups and downs. That's, by the way, are the two divisions that are the biggest one. So the consequence is it's not a straight line by definition because you have ups and downs. We hopefully consider that we should enter at a lower growth rate and get to a higher growth rate over the course of the year because of these elements of the cycling. Now your second question I will leave Jacques answer because this was after the closing of Hypermarket was the finance costs.
Yeah. So on this one, I mean, there is a mix. Obviously, we have some more debt on board, but we have negotiated very good conditions. So if you would take an average cost of financing at 3.5%, as we had, you would be close to where it's going to be. So That's then there was a question on margins again about
Your last question, I thought we discussed it on the previous, but there's no real change. We said it's on average a yearly 30 basis points of EBITDA margin expansion. What I said in your outlook is that's the range between, could say the range between 0 and 30 basis points, or 0.50, by the way, because that's, if you look at the extreme range, this is what we have delivered so far. And we don't plan to change on this. I think, again, it's a combination of finishing the consolidation of the division, so there's some cost there, but there's upsides on the cost saving. So at the end, it will be a blended average, and yes, it's still in the same guidance. Yeah. I think the jury's out. I'm sure that in a year from now, we'll tell you the right figures. Last year, we said it would be flat. We delivered 10 basis points. This year, we say, okay, it's in the range we gave. So we'll see where it goes.
Thank you very much. Just a clarification, if I may. You talk of a 3.5% average cost of debt. Looking at what your gross debt will presumably be, does that mean we should be thinking all-in finance costs of maybe about 40 million euros this year? Would that be the right sort of number? Thank you.
It's probably a little bit lower, but you're not far. Let's see. If you put debt, you should be fine. Yeah.
Great, thank you. And your margin, I understood that as saying, look, 30 bips is the kind of medium-term average run rate. Maybe it will be 30 bips this year. Maybe it won't. You know, it's March. Let's see what happens as the year progresses. Is that a sort of fair characterization?
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
And again, we don't manage the company to please every quarter. When we initially said at the IPO, it's 300 basis points on 10 years, because I truly believe that there's lots of elements, which we already highlighted at the IPO, which are the country mix, category mix, that are helping or not helping the gross margin, and then the EBITDA margin evolution. But we still are on the same track. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Welcome. I think there's one last question, if I may.
We'll now take our last question from Guillaume Delmas from Bank of America.
Good morning, gentlemen. Three questions for me, hopefully quick ones. The first one is on the contracts, gains and losses. So clearly it was a negative balance in 2016. How should we think about 2017? I mean, are we going to see actually some contract gains that could support your recovery in the MMR division? My second question is on the femcare business. I mean, this is your smallest product category, but we've seen a very weak performance in 2016. Is it down to more promotional activities, share loss, maybe contract losses, or is it just less of a priority for you and you are allocating more brand support behind adult incontinence and baby care? And finally, and sorry if I go back to margins, but you flagged that you don't expect any improvement in terms of the promotional environment for 17. You're flagging a FX and now a raw material headwinds. So how should we think about your gross margin in 2017? Are you confident you can extract enough synergies or cost savings to offset all these headwinds? Thank you.
So I will let Thierry answer the first question for sure. The second we can discuss, because I think the very weak performance for me is a little bit extreme, but okay, we can cover those two, and then Jacques can take the third one.
So on the gains and losses, clearly, you surely remember, I think I was saying in the past, this is a kind of a leading indicator telling us a little bit what the future is going to be on this geography, because there is always a lag between the moment you gain a contract and the moment it impacts your trading, and the other way, when you lose a contract, it takes also time. So you see this coming, and as well as the balance more than a year ago was giving a kind of negative perspective, I can say that the balance is giving a positive perspective going forward. I'm not going to quantify exactly what it is, but it's a positive perspective in terms of the net of gains and losses. That's for sure. On the FemCare, and maybe after Charles can give some more colors, but one of the things we need to keep in mind is that our FemCare business is essentially on the Western Europe located. We are leader by far on the retail brands on the Western Europe, and the Western Europe market in FemCare is decreasing. So we are kind of on the trend of the market or slowly underperforming the markets on the FemCare. Where FemCare is growing in the world, because the total market is a growing market in FemCare, is actually outside of Western Europe, where our presence at the moment with that category is limited to nil. And there we still need to roll out these categories in those geographies. We have not yet done that job yet.
So on the gross margin, Jack?
Yeah. So on the gross margin, when we take in, obviously I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know where the FX is going to end, obviously, and the commodities, we have some feelings. We have obviously, as you know, we have contracts also with our suppliers, which allow us to have some protection and mitigation. And so I would say with the element we have today in mind, with the integration of the new affiliates or the new acquisitions, the project we have, which we have each year or so of hundreds of savings projects and improvement projects, we are confident to have an increase in our gross margin. Then we're going to have to decide how much of that we want to reinvest in the structure. And, so it's going to be more us to manage it. But we see an increase in gross margin, sure.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have available for questions. I would like to hand the call back to Mr. Bouzes for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, I'd like to thank you for being on the call and listening and asking questions about our business and the interest you have for our business. I'm still very pleased with our progress so far, whether it's from the transformation point of view, geographic, brands, categories, with the size of the company, that since 2013 has getting close to doubling in terms of run rate, or whether it's our absolute profitability expansion. We are on track, and we are on track also to deliver our organic and inorganic growth. We did three acquisitions since 2013. We continue, and we delivered 4% like-for-like growth since the IPO. So we expect to continue the journey as we stated and as we plan. I would like to thank you all, and we'll have the next call in for the Q1 results in May. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes Ontech's fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.